So today's battle drill, it's the fifth battle drill of how to live as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And the fifth battle drill is trust the commander. Every soldier knows that you need to trust your commander. And we know the commander is Jesus. So basically, you could sum up today's sermon this way. Trust God. Trust God. So the first step of the training regimen, the training routine of a good soldier, is to know the field manual. So we're going to look at today's scripture. It's in Proverbs chapter 3. And the battle drill actually comes from a scripture you might have already memorized. There's a very good chance that some of you have memorized this scripture. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. O Father, teach us to live according to your word, which is eternal and everlasting. We are but the flowers that fade, and we are but the grass that withers. But, O Lord, your word is eternal, and it will stand the test of time. And you will accomplish that which you sent forth your word to do. Do it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Trust God. It is Jesus Christ who enlisted you into the army of God to be one of his good soldiers. That's what 2 Timothy chapter 2 taught us when we studied it in January. And now as we walk through February, and now we're in March already, wow. You know, we are studying then, what does it mean to be a good soldier of Jesus? How do we live our lives in a way that is instinctive, reflexive, and habitual to the Word of God, so that when we're under fire, when we're in difficult situations, we respond the way God would want us to respond, according to his Word, and let me say it, not according to your emotions or your adrenaline or the other things that so often drive our decision making. Now, let's look at this very famous scripture and put it in context. So we're going to be studying these two verses, but let me read the first half of Proverbs chapter 3 to you. So 1 through 20. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And here's our scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And then we keep going. Verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body. That's a good promise. And refreshment to your bones. Verse 9. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. That is a good summary statement of what Kurt talked about today when he did the offering. Verse 10. And here's the promise that goes with that. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, and this is for you daughters as well, okay? This is about being a child of God, okay? You're a daughter of the king, a son of God. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Many of you would recognize that as quoted in Hebrews chapter 12. Last year, we talked about the promise of the father's discipline. There it is, okay? Verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. You've probably said, that's a song. You probably recognize that proverb right there from music we sing. Verse 16, long life is in her right hand. in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. Isn't that beautiful? What a great passage. I encourage you to be reading the Proverbs each day. We're going through the Proverbs this year, and Billy Graham made it a routine to read a proverb a day. It's a great rhythm of spiritual formation. Now, a significant part of this battle drill, in order to trust God, to trust your commander, you need to believe that he's good, that God is good, and that he's powerful, and that he's able to bring about that which he promises to do. Okay? It's so important to believe this truth, that what God promises, God will provide for. That God is good, and he is powerful, and he's capable. So real quickly, I just want to saturate you in some scriptures about the goodness of God. Because if I'm going to try to convince you to live according to the word of God, which, by the way, only the Holy Spirit can do, I can't. I'm not eloquent enough, nor am I supposed to be eloquent. I'm supposed to be powerful. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who can do that. So let me read the word of God to you, because the word of God never returns void, never returns empty. Here we go. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. And you hear that throughout the Psalms, by the way, over and over again. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. How about Nahum? When's the last time you read the minor prophet Nahum? Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold. So he's a refuge, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who take refuge in him. He knows those who take refuge in him. Okay, James 1:17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Can you trust him? Can you trust God to keep his word? Absolutely you can, because God is good. And that's exactly what Jesus said in Mark 10:18. Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. There it is, from the master teacher himself. God is good. Therefore, if you're going to execute the battle drill and you're going to trust the commander, you're going to trust God, you need to believe that he is good and that everything he wills for your life is good and for your good. No matter what you're walking through, God is good. Hey, let's do the Baptist liturgy. God is good all the time?
All the time,
God is good. Good. See that? God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. We say that. Why do we say it? We say it because we've been trained to say it. Yes, I get that. It's good muscle memory, okay? It's good. That's what liturgy does. Liturgy is kind of like gives you muscle memory. But why do you, because what you're doing is you're training yourself to live according to that truth. It's like a good athlete. You run the play over and over again. It's like a good soldier. You run the battle drill over and over again. Why do you say God is good all the time? Because sometimes it doesn't feel like it. And your faith has to be great. It has to be greater than your feelings. Your faith is greater than your checkbook. Your faith is greater than the medical diagnosis. Your faith has to be greater than that pink slip. Your faith. So whether the house closes or not, God is good. Amen? And that allows you to persevere through the difficulties that you're going through. And we know God's nature. God has revealed himself as good. And what is the beginning of wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? It is a reverence, a respect, and awe for who God is. You become wise because you know God. You are wise in the way you respond to your difficulties in life because you know that God is good and that all that God does is good and for your good and for his glory. So you don't act like a fool when hardship comes. You don't act like a blasphemer. You don't act like a mocker. You act like a faithful follower of the God who is good, because you have built into your systems, into your brain and into your heart, that God is good. You're training yourself in righteousness. You're training yourself in godliness. You're preaching the gospel to yourself. So 11 years ago, my daughter Alana, who is beautiful and sitting with us today, was just born. She was born in January, 11 years ago. And we didn't realize what was going on. We were in the hospital. Well, I wasn't in the hospital at the moment. My wife was in the hospital with the brand new baby. And she called me and said, get back to the hospital. Major heart issue kind of happened. They whisked her away. And so I have no idea what's going on. My wife is calling me back to the hospital. We have a brand new baby. And there's like some kind of heart issue. And it's like, get back. So I'm driving down State Road 3 in record time. Sorry if there's any police listening. And here is my prayer. God, I'm just gonna, I mean, this is 11 years of memory, but this is basically what my prayer was. I remember this like it was yesterday. God, I really want to keep this baby and see her grow up. I love her so much, and I love my wife. And we come to you asking for you to save her, heal her, and allow us the privilege of raising her. Lord, if that's not your will, we trust you. And no matter what happens, we're going to serve you wholeheartedly. No deals. I remember saying this. I remember pleading with God to save her. But then I remember saying to God, I said, God, no deals. I'm not asking for a deal. I'm not going to barter with you. Lord, if this is your will to take her to be with you, she's better with you than with us anyways. But Lord, we really want to keep our baby. Please, Lord. And I said this. I said, Lord, I love you and I trust you no matter what. I might have said in Jesus' name, amen. But I definitely was praying in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit according to the goodness and the grace of God. Because I believed that God would hear me as a father hears a child. But there's one thing I've learned is that I don't want to barter with God. I don't want to try to say, God, if you would do this, then I'll serve you. And if you do that, then I'll do this. It's just, Lord, I'm all in. I'm all in, Lord. I trust you. And whatever you decide is for our good. To live is for Christ, to die is? Wow, do you believe it? Amen. To live is for Christ, to die is gain. That's that reckless abandonment of trust that your commander knows what is right and true, that all that he does is for his glory and for his good. And it needs to become a reflexive, instinctive response in your circumstances. Why? Because it's a habit. You've made praying a habit. You've made praying in the name of Jesus according to the character of God a habit. It is so ingrained in you to say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. So if your daily bread is at stake, you know that God is good. He's going to give you that daily bread. If you're in an impasse with someone and you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Forgive me of my debts as I forgive my debtors. You know, the Lord hears that prayer. And when that becomes a habit, when you memorize and train yourself according to God's word to pray to the goodness of God, then when you are under stress, when the fire begins coming at your way, when the enemy starts coming at you, it is your instinct and your reflex to call upon the goodness of God. And I want you to be a good soldier of Jesus. I want it to be your reflex, your instinct, your habitual nature to trust God no matter what. No matter what. Because sometimes it doesn't feel good. And sometimes it doesn't look right. But God is good. And all the time? Amen. And that takes us to our second action step. The first step is you got to know the word. And part of knowing the word is knowing God's character, because God's word reveals God's character to you. And the second step of a good soldier is you got to train together as one unit. And Kurt already nailed this. We are the y'all. It's not just me and you doing this independent of one another. We're doing it mutually dependent upon one another. An essential reality to live on mission for God is realizing that the promises of God are given to the community of people. Okay, now I want you to give you an example of this, all right? Here it goes. Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11 is probably one of the most often use scriptures for a life verse. You'll see it in people's houses. You'll see it framed. You will even see it tattooed on people's bodies. Jeremiah 29:11 is one of those verses people love to co-opt and take, and man, this is my verse. This is my life verse, and this is good, and God is good, and this is true, and that's okay, but I want you to hear Jeremiah 29:11 in its context. So what is Jeremiah 29:11? It's this: "For I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Okay? So that's a very positive. You know, God wants prosperity for you. God wants to make your life work for you. And God is for you and not against you. And yes, that's great. But listen now. Listen to it. Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 4. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." See, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look official here. I'm going to actually, instead of just reading it off of my sermon notes, I am going to open up my Bible to the book of Jeremiah, go to chapter 29, and I am going to read to you straight from the text, starting in verse 4. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Do you hear who God's talking to? He's talking to people who have lived through Jerusalem being sacked and destroyed and have been taken out of their home city into a foreign nation where they're being subjugated, exiled. These are people in exile. Verse 5, "Build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there, and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile." Who sent them? God, "where I have sent you into exile." God is good, right? God is good.
All the time?
God is good. Pay attention, this is really important. "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you." I bet they're not saying God is good right there. They're like, yes, they are, because they've trained themselves to say God is good. And so they're hearing the word of the weeping prophet. "I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets," don't let your preachers, okay, tickle your ears. Let me read this to you. "Do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years," this is verse 10, by the way, this is the verse before the promise that everyone tattoos on their house or their body. "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Whew, that really changes this verse a lot when you read it in context. A lot, like not a little bit, like a lot. Okay, it's still true, it's still a promise, but the whole context changes it. From an individualized verse, for me happy now, give me what I want right now, to a community promise that may take generations to fulfill. Oh, definitely not the American way. We want it now, baby. Everything's like Burger King in our lives. Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will store your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." Amen. Wow. Very powerful scripture. Great promise. Man, it is good. God is good, and all the time. Within this promise is the essential truth, and I want you to lean forward and pay attention. Within this promise is the essential truth of training yourself to trust the commander, to trust God. The commander has the strategic victory in mind. The commander has the strategic victory in mind, even if, especially when, it feels like a tactical defeat. Okay, I'm using military language here. Okay, there is a strategic level of war in which you have this huge strategy in order to win. And there are tactical battles for hills. Sometimes you lose battles, even though the victory is still secure. And sometimes it feels like we are in a tactical situation. But do not fear, for God sees the victory. And let me tell you, these people right now just lived through the sack of Jerusalem and are now exiled for 70 years. And if you know the lifespan of people back then, that is probably, they're probably not going to live to see the other side of this. The promise reminds us that God's people would have to endure 70 years of captivity, yet God says, you love me with your whole heart every single day of that 70 years. You love me with everything you have, and you teach your children to love me with everything they have every single day of that 70 years in Babylon. Even when it feels like I have gone away, I have not gone away. I will not forget you. I am good, and my purposes are good. Hang on and be faithful. Live faithful. Teach your children the faith and teach them to be faithful. Teach your grandchildren the faith and teach them to be faithful, because I have not forgotten you. The strategic victory is secure. That is so important. God's people would not return home for 70 years. So God tells them to raise their families. God tells them to work for the welfare and the prosperity of that conquering enemy. Wow. So let me be clear about this promise so that we can be very clear about today's battle drill. Because I believe that God wants you to hear this prayer from Jeremiah himself for you in today's context, today's world, with all that's happening in the world, as we pray for Ukraine, as we pray for what's happening throughout the world, throughout our communities. And here it is. You are commanded to be faithful even unto your death. Even if your faithfulness causes your death, you are to be faithful. And with your dying breath, you are to say, God is good. Because to live is for Christ, and to die is gain. You are commanded to be faithful. This is the Lord's command for your life, to persevere unto the end, to overcome. And you cannot do that if you don't trust Him. You will not do that unless you trust Him. It'll just be lip service. If you don't get it into your bones that God is good, that you can trust Him no matter what, it will just be lip service, and you'll jettison your faith. You'll disregard it. You'll do something with it, but you won't live by it. You are commanded to trust the strategic victory that God has already given you in Jesus Christ. Death has been defeated. Then why did I have to do a funeral on Monday? Why do we have to see Lucille Harless's funeral flowers from Tuesday's funeral? The victory is ours in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the resurrection life. Do you believe this? That's believing in the strategic victory of Jesus, even when we still have to fight against cancer, even when we still have to fight against the aspects of the fall that are prevailing in our world. You'd be a fool to try to use your faith to talk those away. They're real. They're every day. They're overwhelming. But praise be to God, for the victory is ours in Christ Jesus. And that gives us the faith and the hope to continue to persevere in love through those realities. And we need to live today in the same way that Jeremiah commanded his people to live, that God used Jeremiah to command those people. You need to live in such a way today that your children and grandchildren will want to follow the Lord, even if they see you go through hardship and difficulty in your life. And there's only one way to please God. It's faith. The Bible makes that very clear. Hebrews 11 verse 6 states, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith is the key. And that brings us to our third point, that we need to seek the commander's approval. Every good soldier knows they have to learn according to the field manual, they need to train as one unit, and they need to seek the approval of the one who enlisted them, their commander. And living in a way that pleases God requires an instinctive, reflexive, and habitual faith so that you trust Jesus Christ, who according to 1 Peter 2:25 is the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. Who is the one who has secured your victory? It is Jesus. He is described as the shepherd and the guardian of your soul in 1 Peter 2:25. What a beautiful title. What a beautiful way to relate to Jesus, your commander. But let me be frank with you. If you're living for your benefit and not his, if you're living for your own good pleasure and not his, then you will quickly become disenchanted with the life of faith. Because God will not be mocked. And I see it all the time. When people go through hardship and difficulty, and when their small faith, which is, God, how can you make my life work out for me the way I would like it to work out, please? And add some extra tomatoes and pickles on that too while you're at it, because I want it my way. That kind of faith right there gets jettisoned. When people become disenfranchised with a consumeristic view of God, he's quickly put aside when difficult times happen. And today, I am asking you to not diminish God or your faith in God by giving lip service to him. He's either good all the time or he isn't. God is good. And all the time, do you believe it in your bones? Do you believe it in your bones, in the very DNA of who you are? Is it so deep within you that's more powerful than your autonomic nervous system? It's more powerful than the adrenaline rush. It's more powerful than the endorphin rush. It's more powerful than the grave itself, because this faith has overcome and defeated the grave. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That is the only way, with that kind of belief, that is the only way you will remain faithful. It's got to be in your bones, people. Got to be in your marrow. Do you trust the commander? Do you trust that when he gives you the order to go and deliver a food basket to this person, and you're like, Lord, you don't know what that person has said to me over the years. I'm at war with that person. He goes, good, drop food baskets, not bombs. Go and bring a food basket to your neighbor. But don't you know what they did to me? Yes, I know. Don't you know what you did to me? Forgive them as I forgave you. Deliver a food basket. Send that text. Send that email. And maybe he'll say, hey, by the way, don't send that email or send that text or don't post that. It's not always about sins of commission. Sometimes it's sins of omission. Sometimes we need to not do some things, not just do some things. You know what I mean? I want you to hear this. Hebrews 11:1, what is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What do you need to have faith in? You need to have faith that the victory is secure in Jesus, because there are going to be times that your faith is going to be like, I don't see no victory, Jesus. Definitely not feeling it. And I'm definitely not hearing it from my brother or sister who goes to church and just, you know, did that to me. And I'm thinking about just being done. Are you going to make sure I'm safe?
Yes.
Let's give him a round of applause. Loving his neighbor. Listen to Proverbs 3 again. This is not the whole thing. Don't worry. Don't freak out. Just verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own. You mean, wait, let me get this. You mean maybe your point of view isn't always the accurate point of view? I'm leaving this church right away, because if my point of view ain't the sacrosanct sovereign point of view, then these people are whack. Because what I see is reality and truth at all times. And no, you got to understand that sometimes you don't see the whole story. Sometimes you don't know the whole story. Sometimes you're just not getting it. There's a bigger story that's happening. And your point of view may be off. Your survival instinct may betray you. Your emotions may be the exact opposite thing you need to give yourself over to in that moment. Instead, you need to not lean on your own understanding in that moment and do what? Be faithful. Be faithful. Do the right thing. Don't trust your interpretation of the moment. Trust God. Trust God. I can't even tell you how many issues that would save us all if we would not presume that we are infallible people. And that yes, our points of view can be off. Please. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what's the promise? And he will make your paths straight. Woo. Here's a great scripture. Romans 8. Woo. Romans 8, 28. Does anybody know what that says? We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him, are called according to his purpose. Huh. You mean God's going to make the path straight? No matter what happens in your life, God can work all those things together. All means all. That's all means. He can cause all things to work together. Now, let me put that in context for you. Listen to Romans 8, verses 26 to 28. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray. Pay attention here. This is really important to get this in context. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us. That means even sometimes in your prayer life, you're praying according to your own understandings and points of view of situations, and you may not have the whole story. So even sometimes your prayers are selfish and limited in scope because you don't know what the strategic God, the sovereign God who has a strategic vision already secured in Jesus. So you can beg and beg and beg in Jesus' name for something and he still doesn't do it for you. And that doesn't mean he's not good. Sometimes the most gracious thing he does is doesn't give you what you ask for. Do you give your children and grandchildren everything they ask for? Well, I shouldn't ask the grandparents that. Parents, do you give your children everything they ask for? No, because you know it's not for their good. And so you make them cry, and they say, I hate you, and they manipulate you. Well, fine. People do that to me all the time because they think if they manipulate me and tell me I'm a bad Christian, they'll give them what they want. Go ahead. I'm going to be faithful to him. You need to be faithful to him too. God is good. And all the time, do you believe it? Are you living that way? Is it trained into your soul? And he will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. And so when he says no, say thank you, God. That is awesome. You know, I'm not very happy right now, but I trust you. Trust you. I love you. Every soldier. Okay, so you know I served in the military. I went to West Point. Had about a little under 8 years of active duty service. And you know, it was trained into our DNA to do what we were told. I mean, it was like trained into our bones that you do what you're told. And every soldier knows that that's done through discipline. That's the Father's discipline for you. That's the Father's discipline for you. The Father wants you to bear the peaceful fruit of righteousness, which is a quote from Hebrews 12. Listen to this. Hebrews 12, I'm going to grab from verses 10 to 14. Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. That beautiful admonition comes right after this, where the author of Hebrews says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, that's what I just read, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Do you want to be able to walk in the straight paths? Do you want to be a healing agent of God? Then you need to be trained by his discipline. And discipline is not bad. He's training you to trust him, to believe in him, to respond instinctively, reflexively, and habitually to every circumstance of your life with faith. That's how you stay on the path. And that leads us to our final point. And everyone said, amen. Live on mission. I know we're going a little bit long here. You got this. Be disciplined like a soldier. Your kids are fine. They just went back there like at 11:20, 30 minutes ago. Okay, you got this. Come on. Here we go. Yeah, I don't. Anyways, step number four. Action step number four for a good soldier of Jesus. Sean, I love you, brother. I'm glad you have all day. Live on mission. Live on mission. Okay, you've studied the field manual. You know what the Word of God says. You've trained together as a unit. You're seeking the pleasure of the one who enlisted you. Now go live it. You know, in the biblical worldview, there's no such thing as knowing something and then doing something else. You didn't know it if you go do something other than it. Okay, so allegiance and trust in the commander are hallmarks of good military order and discipline. So I was an infantryman. So I was a frontline guy. Okay, I was an infantryman. And the motto of the infantry is follow me. It's follow me. We would never ask someone to do something that we ourselves would not do first. And that's good leadership. You never ask anyone to do anything that you yourself are not willing to do yourself. And that's the life of Jesus. Amen. Jesus never asked anything of us that he himself did not first willingly and lovingly do for us. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he modeled for us a life of putting the Father's good pleasure before his own to the point of death on the cross. To the point of sweating blood because of anxiety. Because of the reality of what he would face on the cross. And that's humility. This is going to sound like a really weird conclusion to this message, but do you know the key to living with this kind of faith? It's humility. The key to being a good soldier, a key to trusting the commander, a key to believing that you may not have all the facts and that he has a good strategic victory in the midst of this difficult season you're going through, that God has good in this moment of your life, even though nothing feels good about this moment. Hey, guess what? Here's the key to you living faithfully as a good soldier of Jesus. It's humility. You've got to be gentle and humble in heart to believe that God, okay, this is going to be really scandalous. Hang on. That God may know more than you. Ah! What? Impossible. It's true. True. Just like you have to tell your little elementary school student, you have a little bit of life experience. You might know a little bit more than your kids. Guess what? Even if you're in your 90s or your hundreds or anywhere in between, you're still like a little child to God. And he wants you to come to him like a child, gentle and humble in heart, crying out to Abba, Daddy, Father, I need you. And this circumstance doesn't make sense to me. I need you, Daddy. And I know you're good, and all that you've ever done in my 90 years of life is good. You cut me off. Hey, are we done? Am I out of batteries or something? Wow. Let's go to mic number 5, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
Check. Yeah, baby. I've never done that before. Yeah!
Ran out my batteries. All right. Good thing I'm the Energizer Bunny. Okay. Let's bring it to closure. I hear you, God. I hear you. Or I hear dead batteries. Providence, right? But you got to be humble. All right? And that's what I want to call you to. Even your faith is a gift from God, according to Romans 12:3. Romans 12:3 says this, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith, or the measure of faith for you King James folks. Even your faith
even that which saves you and allows God's righteousness to be imputed upon you or transferred to your account. Everything that you have in this life is a gift from God. And he calls you to be a steward of it for his glory. Living on mission is being a humble steward of everything God has given you for his glory. And the Lord can give and take away. Blessed be his name, right? The Lord gives and takes away. Blessed be his name. And when you can live with that kind of surrender, then he can use you for great things. So I want to end with this scripture reading from Philippians 2. This is one of my favorite passages in the scriptures. And remember, as an infantryman, our motto was follow me. And Jesus' invitation to discipleship is follow me. And hear what Jesus is inviting you to follow. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, pay attention. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ Jesus I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. Amen. That is the example of Jesus for which he invites you to follow him. And only someone who is humble and gentle in heart will carry that cross into their everyday life. So Charlie, Mike, continue mission. Persevere in this one thing. Trust God. God is good. And all the time, amen, amen. Lord Jesus, bless your church, whether in the Ukraine, O Lord, where they need our prayers and our blessings and our aid. O Lord, be with your church throughout the world, including right here in this congregation, Father God. May we be gentle and humble in heart like Jesus, willing and ready to take on your cross and to live according to your purposes for the Father's good pleasure. Send us forth from this place now. Oh Lord, help us to respond now in song. In Jesus' name, amen.